This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 26th, episode 1552, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-do!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, I've been studying nonstop, Glenn, and this is a nice break for me. So,
haven't you tested yet? I thought you would be all done by now.
So, the first 2 days were just practice because it is incredibly detailed on the join up and the long lining and the tacking and the every single thing. It's amazing. And so basically you have to practice for a couple of days, but this morning is my big anatomy, physiology, and psychology test.
Is this your psychology or the horse's psychology? You're going to have to sit on a couch or?
I know I should lay down and take it. No. So you start to ask questions about what kind of test, like what's going to be on the test? What is it? Like, is it multiple choice? Is it this? It's labeling diagrams and essays.
So it's like pin the tail on the donkey. You get to just take the things and pin it on the horse?
No, because there's no things.
Oh.
They're blank diagrams.
Oh, you have to actually remember?
All the muscles.
It's not
all
like multiple choice.
Bones,
I always did good at multiple tendons. Choice because I could guess.
Right? At least yeah. If there's like a list of like, put all of these in the blanks. She's like, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. And essays. I have to write essays. And again, it's officially been 20 years since I've taken a test. So I'm a little bit of a hot mess. I studied. But it's amazing how much easier it is to study without a 3-year-old climbing on top of the book. It's like having a cat, you know?
Did that
like,
bring back memories of the days pre-child when you actually got stuff done?
No, because I never studied this much before or anything else. That's terrible, I know. And children that are listening, study hard. It matters.
Now, when you're taking the test, is there going to be a nun with a ruler standing over you watching?
Yeah, it's a German with a ruler.
Oh, German with a ruler. It's even worse.
It's worse. It's worse. No, it's good. I feel pretty prepared. The first test today encompasses over 200 pages of material, and I've gone through it. I did note cards. I've been going through it for the last month and a half. But yesterday afternoon, we finished up with the horses around 3, and she was like, you can go back and study now before I kill you. You know what I'm kidding? And so I go back, and I got through all 200 pages last night. Uninterrupted. It was weird. I was like, nobody's yelling my name?
Well, the people in the bunkhouse were out partying? They weren't bothering you?
Well, the good news is I just kind of locked myself in my room, and another one of them is doing her studying, and the other one's sick.
Oh,
so
there you go.
they all got colds after partying all weekend. But that's today. Wish me luck because, whoo boy, mama needs it. Now, the worst part is tomorrow because now I have to cram the other 300 pages tonight, which is horse husbandry, breeding, reproduction. I mean, everything. I swear I should get a vet degree after this. Like, you know, it's that detailed. But it's interesting. It's so interesting to learn. I've always wanted to know what bones and all the, you know, people like, oh, it's something in a cervical vertebrae. Well, now I know where those are. It's sacrum is out. Well, I can tell you where the sacrum is, you know, those kinds of things. So I'm actually really happy to know all of it.
You're going to be the smartest host on the Horse Radio Network when you're done.
Watch out.
Look out, Dr. Wendy.
Here I come.
Got nothing on Jamie.
Yeah, right. I can't wait. I'm hosting the show with her on Friday, right?
Yeah, yep. You can tell her all about it.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I know. I'll be done with all the test book work by then. So the book testing. So
I'm excited to hear you got to play with some horses. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. I got to see you play with some horses in the pictures you posted. I want to hear about that too. That looked like fun. But we got to go to Jennifer because we got important things coming up right away on the show today.
I know.
Jennifer, not that that isn't important. It's just, well,
whatever.
This guy's more important, actually. So Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Horses in the Morning show, we have Murray Kessler, the big honcho at the United States Equestrian Federation. That would be president. And he's going to talk about the comments from the USEF about the USDA's proposed amendments to the Horse Protection Act. That sounds deep, and it is. And Dr. Joyce Harmon is going to stop by and talk about saddle fit, and she's doing an upcoming webinar, so listen carefully. And the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer has the Horse and Country TV report. And, of course, Jamie is going to report further on her days at Flag Is Up Farm. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to Otto. Otto is the self-driving truck that made its first journey yesterday carrying 50,000 Budweisers across the state of Colorado for 120 miles by himself without the driver. That's right. This was the first test on the highway of the self-driving truck that they've been working on, Uber. This is an Uber project, actually. And what happened was they left, it was mostly highway driving for 120 miles. They did go into Denver, but while they were in Denver, the driver that was in the truck took over. And then when they got back on the highway, the self-driving truck took over. But there were times, most of the trip, apparently the driver was sitting behind in the watching things from the backseat of the truck, from the cab, or from sleeper. And it went well. The state policeman who was following, they had a state police escort, said it was the most boring ride he's ever had because the truck actually did the speed limit. Apparently this truck is trained so far not to pass many people. It only passes.
Is this a semi?
Yeah, it's a semi, 18-wheeler.
Oh, dear God.
And it will only pass if it has to. It has about $30,000 worth of additional hardware that's in the big rig to do the automatic driving. But it apparently didn't have a flaw. It drove all 120 miles from taking off in the parking lot to ending up in the parking lot. It keeps its distance from other cars, stops, slows down, knows how to do all that stuff. This was the first real test of it on the highway carrying a load, and they were very happy, apparently, with how it came out. And the reason I'm giving this my daily whinny is, isn't it every horse owner's dream that someday when you're going to a horse show at 3 a.m, the truck can drive itself?
Maybe, but I think horse owners are too much control freaks to let a computer drive their car. I couldn't do it.
You couldn't
maybe
do it?
Maybe my children's children
could
do it.
Look, this truck carried 50,000 cans of beer. It can get your horse
precious
there.
Cargo.
That's right, exactly. Budweiser. That's right, exactly.
Nobody wants Bud Light.
Sorry,
Budweiser,
case,
if you're a sponsor.
That's what I was thinking, is I really want to see the day before I die when my car drives me there. I really want to see that day, and I can just sleep.
Because you're a geek. You love that stuff.
That's my goal.
I don't even want to be on the road with computers driving.
Tell me there wasn't a time or two on some of your journeys to California with that trailer where you wanted to take a nap.
I wanted to be anywhere but driving that trailer.
Exactly.
So. You're right.
Exactly. But then again, you know, when my computer crashed yesterday, I thought of Otto. And I thought about all the times my computer locks up and crashes. And I'm thinking, do that once with an 18-wheeler. It's bad news. A lot of beer all over the highway. So, yeah, that's a thing I keep thinking about. All right, your turn.
My daily whinny goes out to all of the Thoroughbred Makeover contestants that start tomorrow. You guys, the Thoroughbred Makeover starts tomorrow. By the end of the weekend, we're going to know who wins everything. They start at 9 a.m. barrel racing, dressage darts, competitive trail is tomorrow, working ranch, show jumping, show hunters, field hunters. Then there's some more barrel racing and polo starts as well. Friday, the dressage starts for eventing. They continue with dressage. There's a freestyle competition, which is always fun to watch. And so it's going to be really exciting. I'm so thrilled for everybody that has worked so hard with these thoroughbreds to get them in to a horse show. I can't imagine getting a thoroughbred that quickly turned around to go compete against, like, you know, 500 other thoroughbreds in that whole thing. Gosh, that's so stressful.
Elisa Wallace is going to be there, right? Did she have a thoroughbred?
She is. Yeah, she judged the freestyle last year, and she was like, screw that. I want part of this $100,000. Because it's $100,000.
Wow.
I mean, every one of these, like the Equestricon show jumping and the Fazek Tipton show hunter competition, the Tipperary eventing competition, on-track placement roundtable, everything is sponsored. So there's just a lot of money that has been put in here by some awesome sponsors. So thanks for that. But yeah, there's seminars, there's roundtables, there's demos, there's parties. It just seems like such an amazing weekend. I don't want to miss it again next year for sure. But good luck to everybody out there competing.
Very good. I wanted to mention too, while you're on that topic of thoroughbreds, I wanted to give a daily whinny here. I'll give an extra daily whinny to the Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue out of New England. They actually just adopted out their 1,000th thoroughbred.
Yay!
They specialize in thoroughbreds. So they're out of Warwick, Maryland. I'm sorry. And they just did, and they're one of the good guys. We know Beverly Strauss, so who is the co-founder of that operation. And in 14 years now, they've done 1,000 adoptions of thoroughbreds. So good for her.
Amazing.
I'm always happy to see stories like that. And they really take the thoroughbreds that they know that they can find a home for that will work with them and, you know, give them a good home and a working home. So I just want to give them a shout out. Mid-Atlantic Horse Rescue in Warwick, Maryland. Good job. 1,000 adoptions. Well, over the years, we've had discussion and we've talked about the soaring issue, actually, for the 6 years this show's been on. And Jamie reminded me that November 1st, next Tuesday, is our sixth birthday? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Six. I said, Glenn, our sixth anniversary is November 1st. And he goes, is Chad going to be in town? No, our six-year anniversary. Thanks for not remembering at all.
Sorry.
When we actually
I have too many wives. I have 27 co-hosts. I can't remember all our anniversaries. I barely remember Jennifer and I's anniversary.
I know.
But
I know.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. But, you know, for the length of time we've been doing this show, 1,500 episodes now, we've talked about the soaring issue with the big lick horses, and we've really done our part to try and help get that, you know, that issue solved and remedied in a positive way for the horses.
Yeah, I just listened to Debbie do her interview with Priscilla Presley on the Horsemanship Radio show about this whole thing.
Yeah, she just had Priscilla on about it. So, you know, it's been one of the things that we have focused on over the years, and we have a very special guest this morning. We have Murray Kessler, who is president of the United States Equestrian Federation, the USEF, and they had put out some comments a while back on the USDA's proposed amendments to the Horse Protection Act. And we talked about it here on the show. And we also noticed that on Facebook, there was some confusion about whether the USEF was trying to protect the big lick industry. And I think it just got confused because it is kind of a complicated topic. So we got Murray on this morning to kind of explain what is going on there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
I guess I should say happy anniversary, too.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And I'll be sure to remember next week.
No, you won't. Don't lie.
Murray, when your comments first came out into the press, it did cause a little bit of confusion that we were seeing on Facebook, and that's why we wanted to have you on. Can you just give us the real quick snapshot of what the proposed changes are from the USDA to the Horse Protection Act?
Sure. Let me do a little clarifying, too. I'm the president-elect. I take official office in January. Christine Tauber's the current president.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And I chair the governance committee where this jurisdiction falls currently within. So my name is actually on the USCF submission. I signed the submission because it you know, is a governance issue. You know, before I go into it, I just want to make sure I'm clear to any one of your listeners that soaring is unacceptable. It's a terrible practice. We are completely aligned with the USDA and their efforts to eliminate soaring, which unfortunately have not been successful since the original Horse Protection Act was passed by Congress in 1970. You know, they've had a, you know, they've made a good attempt, but the reason that they're proposing changes, and this is not a new law, it's revised rules to existing regulation, and the purpose is for them to attempt to strengthen enforcement of the Horse Protection Act and eliminate soaring, or, you know, and which causes physical pain and distress and inflammation and lameness among horses. Now, they're proposing two significant changes. One, today they require the breeds that they cover, which is, you know, basically, you know, is basically the Tennessee walking horses and spotted horses. And they are attempting to make two changes. One of those is they want to assume responsibility for training, screening, and licensing horse inspectors and create this new cadre of inspectors, because today that's relied on by the individual organizers. And the second big change is they want to ban the use of all action devices, pad, and foreign substances at horse shows, exhibits, sales, and auctions. And then they want to broaden the definition from what it is specifically today, which lists those three breeds where the problem exists, and they've added language that says and any related breed with an accentuated gait. So they actually, in their rationale for wanting to do this, say the purpose of it is to align them more with the U.S. Equestrian Federation, which has strict enforcement and standards set forth. So, I mean, that's exact language coming out of it, that this would align the HPA regulations with existing equestrian standards set forth by the U.S. Equestrian Federation. So that's what they're trying to do, which most of that is extremely admirable, and we support. We just need to get this rule clarified to some standpoint, so we're all rowing in the same direction.
And from what I saw, I read your document today, and I actually got through the whole thing. So that, one, you should be proud of me. But I did read the whole and it appears that you guys have three major concerns about the changes that are coming up. One is that the regulations say they're very broad. You know, that's the biggest problem, and that's a lot of times when the government deals with the situation, they tend to be too broad, and they have good intentions in mind, but they tend to be too broad. And it causes an effect that people didn't plan on, and then all of a sudden it's a mess. So what I got out of what you were proposing is to try and narrow down those definitions a bit so that it doesn't become unintended consequences that are a mess for everybody. When they're trying to, you know, they're trying to do a rifle shot, and the way it's written now, it's going to be more of a shotgun blast. And that's what I got out of it.
I think if you step back, And that's correct, but there's actually a simple solution that's proposed going forward, and that is today the USDA has a mandate from Congress, but so does the U.S. Equestrian Federation. The U.S. Equestrian Federation, for its 29 breeds and disciplines, is already mandated by Congress to do similar things. So the first position that we have is, why, when you're trying to focus and eliminate soaring in these areas that are not under our jurisdiction, would you broaden it to cover everything? Because the interpretation can be so wide where the practice doesn't exist. And why doesn't the practice exist? Practice doesn't exist in our areas because we have, I'll make some comparisons for you, where the USDA in the past, 40 years of this act gets to about samples about 6% of events that are where they actually send an inspector, we cover 100%. Where their annual budget has been $600,000 a year to try to deal with this situation, the U.S. Equestrian Federation, through what we spend and what our licensed officials are spends $18 million a year to enforce its rules. We have a rule book with thousands of pages. We have a hearing process with strict penalty guidelines versus theirs, which actually has to go to court, takes years to do, where with theirs, the immediate sanction is just to kick somebody out of that horse show, where for us, we are very tough, and someone, if they violate this, has to go to a hearing committee. There are penalty guidelines in place. They're suspended. They're fined. They can try to sue us afterwards, but we've never lost a case. So the point is you made this new rule too broad, going into our areas, open for misinterpretation, making it unenforceable, making it arbitrary and capricious. And the single best thing you could do is focus on the areas where the problem really exists to get rid of it and allow us to maintain our independence as provided by Congress in the Ted Stevens Act, and let us continue to do the great job of enforcement in this area. Otherwise, it's just redundant and, like I said, unenforceable. And I can get into some of the specifics.
Well, yeah, I was going to say
overly broad, if you like.
Two of the things specifically was the regulation says related breed that performs with an accentuated gait that raises concerns about soaring. Well, if you say related breed that performs with an accentuated gait, that could be my Hackney pony. Anything that any dressage horse you could claim loosely has an accentuated gait. So I can see concern.
Exactly. Yeah. You're giving the exact great example. So let's go forward with that. And somebody today at the USDA may say, but that's not our intent. But this rule lives forever. And, you don't know 5 years from now, somebody comes in and has a different interpretation. So we have to protect our membership and our affiliates, like the example you gave. But let's just pick a dressage horse, right? So in this rule, it says, for example, all pads on a horse's foot are banned. There is no differentiation between a therapeutic pad and these action devices and kits that are used on Tennessee walking horses. So if you have a horse that that your veterinarian prescribes a little rim pad or just a normal little pad to provide a little bit of comfort in a therapeutic basis, that's banned under the new law. It says absolutely no substances may be put on a horse at all at an event. So
does that include like liniment or alcohol?
That includes everything.
Oh.
Everything. So it bans
poultice.
So you couldn't put fly spray on your horse. You couldn't put liniment on your horse. You couldn't poultice your horse in the evening. Again, it's so overly broad that it becomes unenforceable. And, I love what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish, but it's sort of saying, I need a knee replacement, so I'm just going to cut off the whole leg,
Yeah, yeah.
You've obviously picked up on it, but that's what I need folks to understand is, we're not for soaring. We're violently opposed to soaring. And frankly, we have inspectors at every show and it just doesn't exist. We are sort of duplicated by the FEI, which also has, thermoscans and all kinds of things that are done to test for these types of things. I get where you're going. I know you need to be tough, USDA. I love that you're aligning with us. We need to work together, but the best way to work together is to continue us to maintain our independence, meaning exempt us, delegate to us the enforcement of this within our breeds and affiliates, and we have the wherewithal and the experience and the success rate to continue to do it beautifully.
Well, and that's part of it too, is, you know, you have to give it up to, they need to give it up to you, because you and your organization understands that at horse shows, you know, with event horses, a lot of them might be shod with pads to protect the sensitive structures underneath the you know, at the bottom of the hoof. And that would be illegal. And you can't, you know, can you put studs on a cross-country horse? You clearly see what sport I compete in. But that's just too broad. I get it.
It's just too broad. And when it's too broad, it's unenforceable, by the way. So it's, and
yeah,
then
that'll
it's
go to court, right?
It becomes arbitrary and capricious,
yeah.
Right?
That'll go to court. And that's what'll happen, is a judge will throw it out saying it's too broad, rework it, and come back in 2 years. In the meantime, we have 5,000 more horses that have been soared. You know,
Can I just propose something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to propose something. Can we just stop, like, at all the big lick horses? Like, just make it illegal? I mean, and just specifically focus on that? Flatshod Tennessee Walking Horses, you are welcome to compete. But there is nothing good that is going to come out of a horse with pads jacking its front end up at all. Those people are not respectful of the horse. I have been in those barns. There's none of them that are trying to do the right thing. What they're trying to do is get away with as much as they can. And I'm speaking from being there and seeing it. It should all go away. Done.
There you go.
That's I don't mean to be, you know, jump on that bandwagon and be overly tough, but that's why, I mean, you may not know this, but those types of horses that use those practices are completely banned in USAF competition. So there is no USAF, you know, in our 2,500 competitions, they're not allowed to run a Tennessee walking horse competition within a USAF horse show. They're completely banned.
Oh, wow.
Good. They don't care, though. Yeah. That's the worst part. It needs to come at some side note. Yeah.
But that's why this is, we're not working against them. If we're trying to help them get this rule so it actually passes. Now, you know, there are other organizations that say just narrow it back down to the original breeds, and maybe the USDA will do that, and that would be a fine solution from a USDF perspective. But I have to, from a governance standpoint, I have to protect us just in case they don't. And that's why we had to sort of be very clear in the argument of, you know, why we are, frankly, better prepared and do an outstanding job governing this as we speak today.
Well, we're speaking to Murray Kessler of the USEF. I got to ask you, though, have you heard anything back? Did you hear a response? Or are you allowed to say?
No, you're not allowed to. It's illegal to hear a response. The way the rulemaking process goes, this is not when Congress proposes a new law, you're allowed to go in and lobby and talk to senators and congressmen and try to convince them that your position is correct when they're drafting the law. This is regulation. When there's regulation and a proposed rule within an existing law, which this is, there is a process within the government where there is a submission, a comment period. They publish the rule, then they publish the comments, then they have to review those comments. They have to answer those comments, at least on a general sense, on their final rule. And then that rule has to get approved above the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I think in this case, it would be the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget for the White House. To make sure there aren't any violations of the Administrative Procedures Act and that the rule is not arbitrary, capricious, and what's the economic impact. And so there's a process they go through. We are in the comment period now. The comment period was supposed to close at the end of September. They, at the request of a number of organizations, extended it. So it's closing like today or tomorrow will be the end of the rulemaking period. You are not allowed to meet with them and talk to them. They have open forums. People make presentations, but they don't respond back. They just listen. Now, once that period is done, hopefully we will get a chance to talk to them. But I think if you read our whole submission, you know that we're very aligned with them. We're just trying to help tighten it up so it can actually get put in place.
Now, is it separately that the bill is in front of Congress that's been there forever, and we've kind of talked about that? That's a separate thing altogether, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And they keep trying to, they keep saying that that might go up here. Well, of course, Congress isn't doing anything right now, but, you know, we might see that at the beginning of next year. And it all depends on who gets elected in or out in those in Tennessee and Kentucky. And I think that's going to be a big factor in whether that bill goes through. So I don't know. So there's two sides to this. There's the USDA and then that bill in Congress. Two separate things.
Exactly. And laws take a long time on purpose. I mean, that's the way our forefathers set it up. Regulations, there is a quicker process. And then you have the opportunity to challenge that quicker process through the court system.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
This is a rule.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. I think that's helped clear up the position of the USEF quite a bit. You've been very articulate of that, and I hope we all understand it a little bit better now. And we all hope that that something positive happens out of all of this, and Jamie's wish can come true. What do you? While we have you on here, real quick, you're coming up. You're going to be president in January. So what do you see? What's like your top thing you want to see happen with the USEF?
Well, I'm going to invite you to our annual meeting where we will be unveiling a new direction of the U.S. Equestrian Federation that was approved by the board of directors midsummer, a strategic plan approved by the board of directors. And if I want to oversimplify it, I would like to change the U.S. Equestrian Federation or lead the organization to change from an organization that today people only join because they feel they have to one where they want to. So today I joined the U.S. Equestrian Federation because I need a license to be able to, basically it's, you know, like a fishing license. I must be a member in order to compete. We will be bringing a host of value improvements, new membership types that will encourage growth in membership, different kinds of membership like fan membership. And with that, we will be bringing things like redesigned websites, a relaunch of sort of the branding of the organization. We will be bringing things like learning centers and videos and harnessing all of our top athletes across all disciplines to give back to the grassroots membership through these learning center videos. So there is so much coming, and it's going to be, I'm very excited about it. And I think you'll say, wow, this is, I have to belong to this. I'm getting so much value and member benefits and learning opportunities, and it'll be a real course change.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's exciting. I can't wait to see what the changes are coming down the road. We'll have you back. Let's have you back.
Please
on.
Come back. Yeah.
Yeah. After you're officially president, and these have been announced. I promoted you early, by the way. Did you notice that?
I'm good with it.
Okay,
but
good.
I just want to make sure Christine.
Well, make sure you get your paycheck early too. Okay? I'll let them know. Well, thank you so much. Let's have you on after the conference when all of this has been announced and talk about it.
We'll keep checking in with you. Get all the new upcoming stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I just want to leave on the final note that there's anybody who is still confused. We want to eradicate the practice of soaring as much as anybody, but it has to be done right. So that's
sort of
the
message.
You
can't shoot them all? You can't just go shoot them all?
No, I don't think that's legal
yet. That's an easier way to do it.
It's not legal, Jamie.
I just don't want to take out your eventing horse or the Hackney horse or everything else along the way.
Right.
Well, no, we appreciate that too, because it is a slippery slope. Once that snowball starts rolling, it's sometimes hard to get it back up the hill. So I get where you're at with that. Thanks, Murray. Appreciate you being on.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
I still think we should just shoot people at SOAR.
I don't think we're Philippines yet, where they're just shooting all the drug dealers. I don't think we're there yet. So what a nice guy. I'd never talked to him before, actually. So I'm glad he came on. I think he made that much clearer about what they're trying to accomplish. There was just confusion because I think the way it was legalese, right? So, you know, even when I was reading the whole thing this morning, I kept having to go back. It was like you studying. I kept having to go back and say, okay, exactly what does that say?
It's what I just read.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that? What I just read? Yeah, I got to read it four times to go, okay, now I get it.
So thanks, Denise, for our guest wrangler for getting the big boss on. And we really appreciate him coming on and talking to us. And hopefully we'll have him back on a more regular basis to talk about what's going on over at the USEF.
Absolutely.
Well,
we've had a lot of listeners, Glenn, asking us to talk about emergency preparedness in case of an emergency. And we actually talked to somebody about it years ago, right?
Yes. So we talked to Dr. B, Dr. Jimenez, who used to be on the show on a regular basis. And remember, Christy West, our skydiving girl from Texas, was on at that time. She was digital editor for thehorse.com at that point. And they talked about emergency preparedness. And of course, with the hurricanes and winter coming on and all of that, it's been a topic of discussion. So we dug this out of the archives, and we'd like to share it with you for our horse health segment today. And then we're coming back. We're going to talk a little bit about saddle fit, and also Victoria's here as well.
Am I talking in this?
I have no idea.
Okay. If I am, I have to leave. So,
because she can't listen to herself.
Can't listen to myself.
All right. Let's take a listen.
Alrighty, folks. Dr. B is back because we're talking about joint care and joint support for your horse, because joint care for your horse is a very hot topic with horse people.
That's not it.
And Dr. B is here from Dr. B's Bluegrass on Facebook. Welcome to the show.
Glenn.
Oh, thank you. Always a good time to talk to you guys.
It's always great to have you around because you're...
That's not...
Yeah, that was the wrong file.
You said Dr. Jimenez and Dr. B, and I was like,
yeah,
wait a second.
Yeah, it wasn't Dr. B. It was Dr. Jimenez, and I got the wrong file. And you know what? I cannot come up with the right file right now. Jennifer, do you know what it was called? We can't hear you. We can't hear you. So I don't seem to see the right file. So let's just skip that. We're going to have a guest on here shortly anyway.
Oh, but I had to go potty.
How about if I play a song instead?
Sounds good.
We'll play a song.
Good.
You can go to the potty, and we'll be back with our first guest here just shortly. Sorry about that, everybody. I will locate that file.
We
which
will
I thought,
have disaster preparedness for you
which
by
I
like
thought
next week.
I had. How about I Know a Heartache? That's perfect right now.
Sounds good.
From Templeton.
Play a long song.
Taught me well. Loser is the one
horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
I apologize for that, everybody. It turns out the file never came through to me on my Dropbox, so that's why I picked the wrong one. But we'll hopefully get to that here in a little bit. One of the things that was in the news, I almost gave her my daily whinny today, was everybody knows that one of my favorite inventors in the whole world is Jessica Phoenix. I've known her for...
You have like a weird... Like, y'all are, like, in love.
That's what it really is.
It's uncomfortable to be around the two of you together.
I have a crush on Jessica.
And she tolerates you.
I know.
So
she just puts up
weird.
With me. We made Jessica famous all those years ago. It had nothing to do with her riding, of course. Jessica is an inventor out of Canada, and we covered this at the time before the Olympics. She was not selected initially to the Canadian Olympic team when she thought, obviously, with her horses and with her record that she should have been. So she went and fought the Equestrian Canada, which is their force, their version of the USEF. She went and fought Equestrian Canada. They ended up going to court or something, didn't it? And there were a lot of legal fees involved. She ended up winning the suit and was able to go. Well, an arbitrator has ruled now that Equestrian Canada must pay Jessica $35,000 to cover the legal costs she incurred during the appeal.
$35,000. That must have been a lot of legal fees.
That's a lot of legal fees. So, yeah, so that was, we wanted to, I wanted to say good for you, Jessica. You go, girl. About 5 foot four of fighting power right there in Jessica Phoenix. So
fantastic.
Good for her.
Well, I believe our next guest is on the line, Glenn. We're going to speak to Dr. Joyce Harmon. She only has a few minutes, but we're going to talk to her. She's of Harmony Equine. And Dr. Harmon is well known for her knowledge of proper saddle fit. We always get so many questions about how I can learn about saddle fit and how I can know that my saddle is correct. Well, she wrote a comprehensive book in 2004 that's called The Horse's Pain-Free Back and Saddle Fit Book, and then followed it up with a Western version, and she has dogs. And since then, Dr. Harmon has made it her mission to help us understand saddle fit, help make horses more comfortable, how to train your dog. Just kidding. Good morning, Dr. Harmon.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. What's your puppy's name?
Sunny.
Sunny. Sunny. Hi, Sunny. You want a cookie?
Yeah.
Sonny, you want a treat? So you will go for a walk. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your background with you and all the knowledge about saddles.
Well, saddle fitting became my passion early in my veterinary career because I kept seeing horses with back pain, and it was coming back in the same place all the time. So I started looking at saddles and was fortunate enough to meet some people who were extremely knowledgeable early on. And so I just began to feel that I had to share the knowledge with the world and get the information out there, which is what created the book.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, I mean, being a veterinarian definitely leads you in the right direction to start with. Now, I know you've got a client coming and we only have a moment with you. So because all of our listeners are constantly asking questions about saddle fit, you are actually going to have a webinar on this whole topic. Tell us about it.
Yes, we're going to do a free webinar tonight, actually. And there's a link on the Harmony Equine Facebook page that will let people sign up for it. And we're actually doing if you sign up, a 15% off deals for buying the books, which actually make good Christmas presents for yourself or your friends.
Yourself. Go ahead. You can say it. Well, wonderful. So we are going to post a link to the webinar on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page as well, because poor saddle fit, skin and muscle damage, the pain associated with it, basically talking about how you get performance problems and from mild cold back to severe bucking and rearing. And so you're going to lead everybody through the proper saddle fit, tell you what you can look for to make sure your saddle fits properly, clue you into some common problems as a result when saddle fits an issue. We just had a listener post this, an auditor post this morning about, you know, her horse seems a bit uncomfortable when she's tacking him up, and he now could be starting to tell her something. So we will post that link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It is free and it's just good information. And again, 15% off of the book. So anything else I missed?
Nope, that sounds great. And I think one of the most important things is to listen to our horses, because if they are starting to complain a little bit about really anything, you have to look for the source of pain, and so often that is the saddle, and they really are talking to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dr. Harmon, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Take care. Harmon. Well, now you spent the last couple of days out there getting ready for your testing, but you actually got to play with some horses too out at Monty's place at Flag Is Up Farm in California. What were you doing with the horses?
Oh my gosh, I'm so in love. And if you remember, I was here this summer and I worked with a horse that I call Hidalgo, and I'm slowly changing his name.
Because of the white face?
He looks like Hidalgo.
He does.
From
he looked like Hidalgo, actually,
He's
from the movie.
He's the splotchy pink. Yeah. Has a blue eye. He looks just like him. So I called him Hidalgo this summer. Well, I got to do some dually halter work with the Hidalgo yesterday. And the reason they gave me Hidalgo, and his name is Apache, to do the dually halter work is that he's very lazy and slow and sluggish, which
My
I thought would
horse.
Make him, yeah, he's your kind of horse, would make him a wonderful horse for Lucas. Afterwards, I was like, is he for sale? And I was informed that he's owned by a congressman. So I don't think I can afford him. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You cut out there for a little bit. But
oh,
back.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What'd you miss? What I missed?
No, you're
yeah,
good.
So Hidalgo is owned by a congressman. I don't think I'll be able to afford him. However, I love him so much, Glenn, and he's so beautiful, and he's so sweet, and he's very smoochable. Like, you just put his nose by your face. Love it.
Sounds like the perfect congressman horse. Quiet.
His wife must have bought it. So I go, and I'm supposed to take him in the round pin, and the dually halter work, you know, it's like you pull on the dually, you walk forward, and the horse is to come with you, and if they don't immediately walk forward with you, they hit that line and the pressure goes on the halter. And I was like, I can't put pressure on him. I love him too much. They're like, are you serious? I don't want to school him. I just want to kiss him. Anyway, so he's really, really
How
sweet.
How have you trained any horses?
Oh, my God. I don't know. That's why they walk all over me. That's why I'm here.
How have you done it?
I can get better. But they're not all as smoochable as this one. Like Zeus, you can't kiss. He'll nip your face off. Like, he just... I do kiss Thor a lot, and he gets away with murder.
You know, Scooter is not much for kissing and hugging and... he's not much for that either.
Yeah. Some of them are very aloof. Like, you know, they like their own personal space. Like Thor, you can hug him and kiss him. He tolerates you. He doesn't love it. And then Zeus, if you go to hug him, he'll bite the back of your shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's like that. And then, but this horse was all about it. Just let me. Okay, let's make out. So I did love him. And then I got to work with a lot of the Mustangs. Actually, what's really neat is that there are a lot of the Mustangs that I worked with in the Gentling Wild Horses course 2 years ago. And now there are so good that they're school horses. So it's really, really fun to have that. Now, I also worked with the Willing Partners horses that they have here. Mm. If you guys have some money and you want a horse that is seriously a willing partner for anything, like, I don't want to use the term bomb proof, but like they're
Well, it's bomb proof because I'll tell you why. That's the one they let me ride one of the Willing Partners horses. So do you get because they wanted to keep me alive.
Yeah, these horses are crazy good. Like they don't do anything wrong ever. They're as willing as they come to just do whatever you want, and they make great. They're great little lesson horses here because you can screw up, and they're like, ugh. Okay, I'll just do it right and show you how to do it.
Now, they sell those horses, right? Don't they?
Yes, yes, they do. And like Monty says, it cost us about $50,000 to make them, and we sell them for $35,000.
So they just sell them all for the same flat rate?
I think so. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure that that's what the price is. I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of turn here, and it's different. But he always makes a joke that it costs way more to make them than it does to actually sell them.
The truth about any horse.
Any horse you sell. Now, here's the problem is I'm all like super inspired to train again, and I'm ready and I'm willing and I want to like train more horses. And I just saw like the cutest Mustang ever. Mm. They're doing the internet adoptions, you guys. Please, if you have ever wanted to adopt a Mustang, go on to the, I posted the link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and the auditors page, along with the one that I'm going to get that I've already texted my husband, please. And I sent him the link.
Hasn't he blocked those websites on your computer yet?
I'm in California. he has no blocking ability here. So it's like a little Zeus's little brother, and one of our auditors already named a Hercules, so it's perfect. I went on there, but if they're $125, some of them are $25, and those are the third strike horses, which means they're just up for sale, which is really scary and sad. So if you have ever considered adopting, they do have pictures and videos and a really good description of all the mares and geldings that are for sale. So BLM.gov. I went to BLM.gov to find the link. Well, it's like not on the front of the page, of course. I had to actually dig for it. So it's BLM/adopt a horse is the exact link to get to it. So just my little Mustang promotion of the day, because I'm having so much fun working out here with all of these amazing Mustangs that they have here. And the horse that I worked with yesterday, Skinny, the Mustang that was in our class, he is turned out with Shy Boy. And of course, Shy Boy is the super famous horse around here. What Shy Boy wants, Shy Boy gets. He's, you know, the man. He's the horse that Monty gentled out in the wild. And there was a documentary and all this stuff. Well, Shy Boy's like 22 now.
He's the celebrity.
Yeah. No, he is the famous horse. That he has a big stall. People come here to see Shy Boy. Shy Boy is very dominant in the pasture, and like, I had to go out and get Skinny because they are turned out together. And like, I was like, whoa, like Shy Boy, you know, goes after Skinny, and Skinny's on the line and he runs off, and I'm like, Shy Boy, get away. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not allowed to talk to Shy Boy in negative tones.
You're going to get kicked out.
Shy Boy, you get away. I can't throw sand at you just because you're Shy Boy. You're allowed to attack whoever you want, I guess. You're 23-year-old Mustang. You get to do whatever you want. I'm just kidding. By the way, Monty, I didn't throw sand at him. I didn't even think about it. But it was like, get him in the gate quick. Somebody get the fence. I got the horse. Okay, go. he's dominant and he likes to pick on his little nephew.
Well, now you also, so today starts your testing. So on Friday, we'll have a report.
Yes. Yeah, by Friday, I'm done with all my book testing. I've got a lot of staring at pages.
Do you know right away, or do they make you wait like in high school and college?
We'll know by Friday afternoon. So you will, because we have one more test on Friday, but it's the book test, and then there's the practical exam. So the book test is this morning. Oh my God, it's stressing me out.
Did you pass your driver's test the first time?
I am not going to answer that question, so I don't jinx myself for the future. But curious. I have the book test this morning, the practical exam, which is joint up and long lining, and you can shut up.
If it makes you feel any better, I hit the curb and flunked when I was doing the 3-point turn. So
well, I got really panicked and I turned on my blinker and there was a car like 100 yards away and I waited for it to come by. So I didn't turn and I should have. I mean, I had like an hour to turn and I was in a truck.
Wasn't that better than not turning or than turning right in front of someone, I mean?
I think the mind-numbing, brain-injuring part of it was the blinker was so loud and the car was dead silent. And it's like, click, 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 click. And like I was like, I should have gone. And then she was like, yes.
Yeah, but we all do that even to this day. You're trying to time the car coming in and you go, oh, I should have gone. But then by the time you determine you should have gone, it's too late.
No, there was plenty of time to go. I'll never forget. Click, 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 click. Oh, God, it's like haunted in my brain. I can't even drive a truck that has that sounding blinker anymore.
So you did a road test. See, in Pennsylvania, we had the course, and it was a course. And, you know, it was at the state police barracks, actually, the course was. And, you know, I was in a passenger van that had three rows of seats, one of the old passenger vans. Well, you could not parallel park that thing in the place they had. When I went back the second time, I actually brought a VW Bug. And smart. I did much better in the VW Bug than I did in the passenger van, which
can I be honest for just a second?
Yeah.
So when I was 16, it was on a closed course and I passed. This was when I was like 22 and lived in Ohio.
Oh, you were retesting.
And I let my license expire from Kentucky.
You're a
and
horse so girl.
They made you retest and I failed the retest and I'd been driving for like 8 years. So I'll just be honest with you people. That's a that girl moment for sure. I failed the driver's test in my 20s.
You know, don't you ask yourself, though, when you're driving around nowadays, and we all do this, because it's been 100 years since we've taken that test, and you go, huh? Now, what is exactly the rule on that? Whether it's you're making a turn or the school bus is across five lanes or, you know, whatever it is, you're always thinking to yourself, I wonder what the real law is about that. And to be honest, they probably changed it five times since I took my test.
Well, but the thing is, like, you don't care when you're just driving by yourself. But if you have somebody judging you driving, by the way, you know, my father won't drive with me anymore.
I wonder why.
When he comes to visit, he hires the super shuttle to get to my house. And he says, I don't want to trouble you, but I know the truth.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to drive with you.
He drives, like, he's the guy that's in the passenger seat, and I'm in the far left lane, the passing lane, you know, and he's got his hand on the dashboard. Like, just, oh, God. One hand sometimes on the OS strap up top, you know, and hand on dashboard. So his hands are, one is up in the roof and then the other's on the dashboard. That's how he drives with me. And I'm like, stop it. Sorry, that was a big tangent. I don't know.
It was a big tangent. I don't know how we went down it, but why not?
That's what we do.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Well, let's see if we can roust up Victoria Spicer here with the European report from Horse and Country
TV. See, we were killing time.
We were. But, you know, that's something we all think about when we're driving. You do think about those things. And I always have to think about the school bus thing. Now, how many lanes of traffic have to be between me and the school bus when I don't have to stop? And I think it has something to do with the divided thing. And then there's rules about that. And it's like, oh.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Who cares?
Okay, I'm not getting Victoria right now. So you had a news story, too, that you wanted to chat about.
Oh, no, I have. It's not even really news. It's just sheer awesomeness. Oh. Remember when Leslie Wiley came on and was talking about the Yankee candles that for horse people? And they were like, you know, Copper Talk's Yankee candle. And
And they came up with custom labels. Names, your own names. It was
like on the Yankee Candle website.
Like
So you can go on and you can design your own label. Well, readers submitted their own Yankee Candle ideas for equestrians and for eventers. And all horse people will get most of these. Yankee Candles, Ixamal Essence, a medley of tar.
Ixamal Essence?
Yeah, Ixamal Essence and petroleum jelly. The DMSO Musk is one. The label underneath it says, why does my horse smell like garlic? Is Victoria on with us?
Yeah, I think Victoria just showed up.
Victoria,
I'm here.
Are you here? Would you buy a Yankee candle called Summertime Helmet?
I don't know what that is.
your helmet. They've made labels where you can make your own Yankee candles, and horse people started submitting, or eventers started submitting their own.
What are candle Yankee scents. Candles?
They're scented candles.
Oh, so. Okay.
And so one of them is a summertime helmet. And then we've got DMSO musk, Ichthamol essence. So I don't know if you have all of these things. Trailer tack room.
Oh, yeah, that's a good smell. Yeah, that's good. How about horse girl car?
I'm not sure about summertime helmet. That's not good.
Yeah, smelly car. Wellies.
Yeah, smelly horse girl car is one of them.
Exactly. Oh, I would actually buy this one, Vetrolin Splash. Anyway, so there's a bunch of those, and they're really fun. So you can check them out at eventingnation.com. Of course, guess who wrote the article?
Leslie.
Yeah, of course.
Of course she did.
I did love the burning checkbook one.
Burning checkbook. That's pretty good.
Delicious.
Now that, even people in England understand that one. That's universal right there.
Exactly. Well, Victoria, hello. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you both?
We are fantastic. For some reason, I feel like I just talked to you. I think I had a dream about you or something. Oh, I know, because there's a girl here that's Irish that lives in Scotland. And I talked to her about you. And I was like, do you say horsies? And she was like, yes. She does. She talks just like you. That's why I feel like I just saw you like this morning. Oh, it's really, really fun.
I thought only Victoria did the ease thing.
No, I guess
that's a Scottish thing.
It's a Scottish thing, but only like a certain part of Scotland. So you guys might be neighbors, who knows? But anyway, what's going on with Horse and Country TV, our Scottish friend trapped in London?
Yes, trapped in London. Not quite in the center of London. I live out in the sticks, but still. Sorry, my dog is now attacking me while I'm on the radio.
You wouldn't be the first dog on the show this morning. Other guests have had their dogs attacking them too. So,
what's your dog's name?
Molly.
Molly. Molly. You want to go for a walk? Want to go outside? Come here, Molly.
No, she wants to eat my hands, which is quite distracting. Yeah, so busy week here at Horse and Country. It's the final few events of the year. So we had the FEI World Breeding Federation Championships for young horses, which basically at a place called Les Lions d'Angers. I can't pronounce it very well, but it's all the big guns go there with their young horses, and it's a good place to spot some future stars. And it was Ingrid Klimke and Christopher Burton who were the winners at this year's event, but we had a couple of Brits doing quite well as well, with Pippa Funnel coming second and Izzy Taylor coming third in their respective age classes. So some exciting horses to look out for in the future.
Can we just ship Ingrid Klimke away with Michael Young to an island someplace?
It's not fair that they're on the same team.
No, it
it's
isn't. They shouldn't even be from the same continent. I mean, it's just...
It's if crazy. They had like a love child, it would come out of the womb galloping cross country.
I'm sure their spouses would be happy to hear you have them having a love child.
Well, hey, you know. Like
it's
we would like
good to make... the German team.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. We would like to make the greatest human of all time. Oh God, that'd be scary. Everybody should just give up if that happened. Anyway,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Keep going. And what else is going on?
Well, we have the Queen is in the news this week because she's going to be opening the brand new racing museum at Newmarket. And they've always had a racing museum there because it's the home of flat racing in Britain, and it's a very horsey town. There's hundreds of trainers there, and you can, if you go out in the morning, there'll be thousands of horses using the communal gallop, so it's quite an amazing place. And they always had a museum, but they decided they had too much good stuff to put in this quite small site, so they've basically opened up this new centre for horse racing, and it's a museum, and it's got a retraining of racehorses yard where you can go and watch people working with the retrained racehorses, and there's a gallery full of like sporting and racing art. And so I think it's going to be right up the Queen Street. I think she's going to be very happy being there to open that, much better than opening supermarkets or whatever else she has to do on her regular duties.
Now, is the Queen the oldest monarch to be still reigning ever?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was, because, you know, she's what, 90, 91 now?
Yeah, I mean, Victoria reigned for 100 years, but I think the Queen did overtake her. I think that was when she hit one of her recent birthdays or jubilees. They said that she was now the longest reigning monarch. So, yeah, she probably is, depending on how old they were when they started, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I meant oldest in age because, you know, back in the old days, people didn't live to 91. So, you know, And plus, there were a lot of wars back then, and the monarchs kept getting killed. That was the other thing.
True.
Yeah. That was the other problem. She looks great. I saw a video of her yesterday out and about, and she looks terrific. She's like the Energizer Bunny. She just keeps going.
She does. She's looking great. So I don't think Prince Charles is going to be getting his chance to get.
Do you think he's given up? Do you think he's just totally given up at this point?
I think they should just let it skip a generation and go straight on to William, because Prince Charles is probably, what, in his late 60s and might be in his well into his 70s by the time
he's ready to retire already. Hasn't even got his job yet.
Could you imagine, though, like you've waited 70 years and they're like, we're just going to skip you.
Yeah. It wouldn't go down well. But, no. You know, William is starting to lose his hair, so they might as well make him king before he loses all his hair. And so it just shows by the time he'll be like 110 by the time he makes it to the throne. So, yeah.
Well, see, the crown will cover up those receding spots.
That's so true.
I think that's a good idea. It's a good idea. that's great. Poor, I swear, every time you're on, we just talk about the Queen, like, you know. I swear, I think that they're like around all the time. You see them all the time. Like, hey, how's Charlotte? You know?
Ridiculous. I haven't seen any royals this week. It's most unfair.
Not this week. Talk to us about what the World Horse Welfare Charity is campaigning for, because it sounds good and it sounds awful at the same time.
Yes, it's about equine slaughterhouses, which is obviously a bit of a difficult subject. The fact is, there's a huge problem over here about abandoned horses and fly grazing, where horses are just turned out in herds to run free over land that doesn't belong to the owner, and they breed indiscriminately, and horses are becoming worthless and being sold for, you know, £50 in markets and barely even making meat money. And so I think World Horse Welfare is saying that more people might choose to send their horses to slaughter if they were better regulated. And so they're campaigning to have CCTV set up in all equine slaughterhouses across the UK. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, there was a big scandal about abattoir. I had a reasonable reputation, but all this video footage came out of horses being put into killing pens, not individually, so they could see the other horses being killed and hit with metal poles, and it just caused a real outrage. So it's a very tricky subject, because people need to be responsible about the end of their horses' lives, and if they're not going to pay to have them humanely put down and disposed of, they need to consider other options, and unfortunately this is one of the options.
And so they want to put closed circuit television in equine slaughterhouses. I would think that that would make people
less likely to do it.
Not that I think it should even be done, but I mean, my gosh, there's so what they need to do is put closed circuit cameras around everywhere so they could see who's turning out these horses, you know, and not gelding their animals and not properly taking care of their animals. I obviously that's impossible, but in a perfect world.
Well, exactly. But I mean, sadly, you know, in the same way they have sheep and cows going to slaughter, and I think it's just as important for them that they should have CCTV that to check that they're not being maltreated in their final moments. I think they deserve.
Can I just say that's a station I'm never watching? Just going to throw that out there.
Can you imagine?
But it does. It does provide accountability for the people that work there. Like, hey, dude, people are watching you. So
somebody's watching.
Somebody could be watching. So I definitely think that that's probably a really good idea, because you see these hidden camera stuff with like the Tyson farms of like the mishandling of people are like banging chickens against the wall and beating pigs with poles. You know what? I have an idea. Why don't we all become vegetarians? Right now, if everybody becomes a vegetarian, these places will close down.
Okay, on to a different topic. Victoria, before you go, two more things. One, we'll lighten up the mood here a little bit after that. And we're allowed to talk about this now. I wasn't allowed to talk about it before because it's made the mainstream press over there. Jamie, Victoria, you may not know that Jamie is at Monty Roberts Farm, Flag Is Up Farm in California right now, and she's doing the initial testing to become a Monty Roberts guru. Oh.
That's a certified instructor and teacher.
Oh, I changed the name. Well, there's somebody else that's also going to be meeting with Monty Roberts to become a guru. Back to royalty here. Prince Harry is meeting with Monty Roberts right now, right? This week or right? Monty's over there now, isn't he?
When she started talking about the Queen, I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to
say
anything.
It's all over the news over there.
Yeah. Okay, well, good.
It's hit the papers. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to meet and talk about, I believe, the Brook, which is the charity that Monty is involved in. And so is Prince Harry. And the whole royal family supports the Brook, which is providing relief to working equines all around the world. I keep seeing all these news stories where he met, remember Wocket Woy or whoever that is?
Yes. We had him on the show. Remember that?
Yeah, he met with that guy this week because apparently in the videos he talks about Monty all the time. He's like, Monty's crazy. And he does the opposite of what Monty does to get, you know, so he kind of like, he makes fun of him, but because he respects him kind of thing. So he met with him this week, and then, he's going to meet with Prince Harry. I don't know anything more than that. Maybe I can get some.
Of course, the newspaper, this is which newspaper? Evening Standard, which Victoria would know better than us, said Roberts 81 said the 32-year-old prince who left the army last year is keen to experience how working with horses could help former soldiers. So they're talking about the soldiers program.
Oh, the horse sense and healing program.
The horse sense and healing program. Because of course, Prince Harry, you know, is he still in the reserves?
I think he just got out. Is what you just said.
Yeah. So he's been in forever. Helicopters and all that stuff. So they're meeting over there about that now. And of course, Harry's a horse guy, right? So
he's a polo player for sure, and he is definitely adorable. Right, Victoria?
He is the coolest royal. Everybody likes Harry.
Has he over his party time where he's getting naked in Las Vegas hotels? Or
I hope not.
He is settled down, but I don't think he's got a girlfriend or a serious girlfriend, not that I know about. So
why would you?
He's still
when
available.
You can have anyone in the world. Why would you?
Because not all men are pigs, Glenn.
Let's talk
He's
about
waiting for that special someone. It could be one of our listeners. You too could date.
Let's talk about the other queen, and that's the Queen of Dressage, who has been over here just making everybody's life that gets to see her in the United States. And we're talking about Charlotte Desjardins, who's over here doing clinics. And we've had a couple of reports now from listeners and from Debbie Laux, who went to see her. And they're all just mesmerized by her. She is like your second queen.
She is. Queen Charlotte.
Yep. And she's going to be retiring of Allegro at the show coming up, right?
So soon. Yeah, so soon. 2 months ago. And we're going to wave goodbye to him. So it's going to be quite an emotional evening. I'm going to be there, so it'll be quite...
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Video it, please. Take video and send it to us.
I think they're releasing the official video of it happening. So we will no doubt be sharing it on our website and social media. But it's going to be emotional. But they're doing a very brave thing. He doesn't need to retire. He's only 14 and he's still healthy and sound. But they've decided he's got nothing left to prove.
Being a gelding, he just needs to go into this, like, one of those fancy stalls and be on display and get turned out. A horse like him probably never gets turned out. So
no, he gets turned out every day.
Does he really? Yeah, that's why I like him even more.
Do you think, you know, when these big horses retire, they usually go and somebody, you know, like if Charlotte has a child, it'll become her, you know, pony horse. It's usually what happens. And do you think that's going to be the case here? He's just going to become some plug horse doing lower level dressage?
No, I think he's going to continue to like be hacked out, and I think he'll do a little bit of schooling and they'll do demos and things with him, but they just won't keep him at Grand Prix level. So he'll still do all the tricks, but he won't have to be fit enough to do Grand Prix tests. Did you see the other day that Jenny Rudel got to ride Velegro?
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah.
that's your counterpart there at Horse and Country.
Yeah, our TV presenter. She does a series called Rudel Rides With. And a few months ago, she went for a hack with Mark Todd, and she was going to ride one of Mark's younger horses, and Mark was going to ride one of his four-star. But when she got there, he was like, oh, just ride Leonidas, who is, of course, one of the highest-ranked event horses, Olympic event horse. So off she went, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to beat this. And then a few months later, she rode Velegro. So she went out for a hack with Carl. Carl was riding one of his top horses. So you can see the pictures on our Facebook page and our Instagram page. You get to see Jenny riding Velegro. And every time I see him, he seems to have his head down eating grass like a child's pony. But Jenny
did she do any airs above the grounds intentionally or unintentionally?
She did a bit of piaf and passage when they were out in the field. But she said, she did say to me that she didn't feel she got sort of really put him through his paces like you would if you were in the school. And like she didn't sort of even get to sense a tiny little taste of what he was capable of doing. But it was still an amazing thing to take off your bucket list. And I think we had a lot of jealous people when I posted. So
seriously,
we've got that show coming up soon. That'll be out in December.
Just when you think that you have an awesome job, there is always somebody who has a more awesome job than you.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's great.
I just think I'd be terrified, though. I mean, riding on camera, I think I'd end up just looking like a complete beginner and like would forget how to ride. And that, let alone riding my own horse, having to ride Velegro, I'd be so terrified of
taking
a rabbit hole or something.
You'd take that challenge, though. You know you would.
Oh, I don't know. I don't. And how Jenny can ride him and interview Carl at the same time, because that's the whole idea of the show, is you go out for a hack and you find out stuff about people that they might not tell you in a face-to-face interview, but when you're riding and chatting, you end up revealing your deepest, darkest secrets. So she's there out with Carl, having to ride Velegro and look after him while performing an interview at the same time on camera. It's quite impressive.
Glenn, we need a show like this in the US, and I would be more than happy to start that for the horse television network that you're going to found.
If Horse and Country TV would come over here, you could just do it for them.
I know.
No.
There's my shot. Ding. There's my shot for the day.
All right. Well, Victoria, have a great week. And oh, by the way, do you think, I wanted to ask you this, do you think they're going to clone Velegro?
I hope not. I'm not a big fan of cloning. So no, I hope not. I think he's got like full brothers and sisters and things. So I'd rather just see how they get on rather than having a clone of him. But I'm sure if he did, they would be breeding frantically to try and get some more Velegros. But it's never a guarantee. Like, you remember Frankel, the amazing racehorse a few years ago, and now his first horses are all racing. And some of them have been really good, but they're not as incredible as their father was. They're just good racehorses. So you can't guarantee that you'll
and
be
And I haven't
to breed.
Heard about any clones taking over the world either. You know, you don't...
Thank God.
You know,
it's a scary prospect right there.
It is scary.
Well, Victoria, thank you. Have a great week. And we will look forward to talking to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Bye, Victoria.
Bye.
Well, let's call it a day here. It's been a fun show. We had talked about the Queen. We had a future president on. We were all over the place.
I have to go study and decipher which one is the brachiocephalic muscle versus the sternocephalic muscle.
Jennifer, can you help her with that?
Right after the show.
Okay. That'd be no.
We did not do a Kentucky Performance Product ad at Jennifer because it's Wednesday. Are they not sponsoring Friday?
Oh, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes. She types to us and yells at us when we don't get the commercials in. And she's been typing and typing and typing about doing the Kentucky Performance Product ad. But Kentucky Performance Product is Friday.
What day of the week is it?
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, honey.
Sorry, dear.
Oh, crap.
That's why she typed at the beginning of the show. That's why I said it's brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. So you get a little extra bonus, KPP. We love you.
I was wondering why she kept doing that. It's because she's really hoping it's Friday.
I've been convinced it's We make 6 o'clock
this morning. It's Friday.
The sponsor
does
makeup.
Does that mean Friday morning has to be Wednesday for me?
I say we just play the damn ad, Glenn.
And be done with the week and just call it a week?
Listeners, she has literally typed to us 12 times. Did you do the KPP ad yet? Do the ad. You know, she's like behind the scenes yelling at us like we're children all the time. I feel like we should just play the ad. Out.
We are going to be back tomorrow. We have the Horse Husbands episode for you. Joseph from Equity is filling in for Timothy.
Lord help us.
We recorded this last night. It was a lot of fun. We also have Leslie Wiley's husband on. Okay. Tommy is joining us. And let's say I think Tommy's a little henpecked. That's just what I'm saying. I'm just going to put that out there. And
you
we'll tell you, you have to.
Something spectacular happened.
Yeah, you have to tune in tomorrow to hear. Because it is Leslie, after all. And then we also have Alex on, who is one of our auditor's husbands, who's a military guy for the last 15 years. And he's on talking about, and they just got married, Claire, and he just got married 2 years ago. So he comes from kind of the newlywed perspective. We recorded that last night. We'll be playing that tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning. And then Friday, Dr. Wendy will be here in my place. I'll be in Tampa doing a talk to a bunch of business owners about starting podcasts. And you're going to have fun with Wendy, and you get to interview somebody you've wanted to have on for quite a while. That's Mary Miller Jordan, and you're going to talk about Mustangs and things.
Yes, I'm so excited.
So I all wanted, of that.
Well, she just adopted a BLM burro.
Oh, did oh? So you can? Are you thinking about one of those too? Add to your collection.
Of course, I want to adopt them all, Glenn. All of them. But I want to. I do. I just want to. I want to learn about the burros a little bit more. And she was so excited and so passionate about getting this one. And Elisa Wallace actually helped her. Was at the adoption and grabbed it for her. So it's really something I've wanted to hear more about. So I'm excited.
Very good. Well, we'll see you all tomorrow morning. Have a good luck today, Jamie.
Thanks.
Kick some butt, all right?
Thank you. I'll try.
All right.
Kick some gluteus, superficial gluteal muscles, Glenn.
That's it. That's what you want to kick. Whatever you just said. That'd be perfect.
Oh, my brain hurts.